You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, with Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Hey, Common Fans, make sure to subscribe to our YouTube page. That's youtube.com/ at Common Fan GBR. Did I get that right, guys?
Betcha.
And I think that's right. You just search. Just search Common Fan Podcast on the old YouTube there. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing well.
Great.
Doing well.
We've got a belly. Yeah,
I want to remind you, you just mentioned the YouTube page. I want to go back. You mentioned the YouTube page. So for those Common fans out there that are already subscribed, they've been plugged in, listening to everything. I didn't know this until recently, but there's a bell. If you're on if you're subscribed, there's a bell. If you click the bell, you can click to be notified when all videos are put out by your favorite YouTube channels. So go ahead and click that bell for the Common
Ring
Fan
the bell.
Ring the bell.
Ring the bell,
Common Fans.
You want to ring that championship bell. It's like, I think it was Marty Schottenheimer. He said, "We're going to ring the bell. Ring that championship bell." So
subscribe on YouTube,
all the videos, all the YouTube shorts, all of it. There's only one way to do that.
Yeah,
ring the damn bell.
Ring the bell.
Ring the bell.
You know what to do, Common Fans. You know what to do. Hey, Common Fans, do you like burgers? Do you like steak?
Yep.
Do you like kebabs? Do you like beef hot dogs? Do you like beef bacon? I could go on and on, Common Fans. And what we're talking about here is certified Piedmontese beef. If you've listened to the Common Fan Podcast, you know it's a favorite of ours. And you can get it at your local Mercado Butcher Shop in Lincoln or Omaha, or you can go to cpbeef.com. So make sure you check out certified Piedmontese, Common Fans. The other great thing about the Mercado Butcher Shops, guys, is you can go in, you can get your favorite cut of meat, you can get a steak behind the counter, but they have hot food too. And so I've been, as a guy who's from Nebraska but doesn't live there currently, I've been following them on Instagram and the other social media pages. And man, I just want to dive in on some of the stuff that they put out there, the hot food that they put out there. So check out your local Mercado Butcher Shop. It's well worth it. You can get steak. You can go in at lunchtime, right? Over your lunch break.
Yeah.
Get yourself lunch, right? Get a hot sandwich or whatever they got going that day. And then you get steaks for the family for that night or for the weekend or whatever else. You can't go wrong. Go ahead, Geoff. What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say they have great lunch specials. They're freaking delicious. So you stole the words right out of my mouth.
Geoff, for whatever reason, is like a correspondent in Iraq right now, where there's a little bit of delay coming from when he's talking, or maybe like a weather reporter during a hurricane. there's a tiny bit of delay, and we can't figure out what it is.
Let's go out to Geoff. Geoff, what are you seeing out there?
Send it to Geoff in Baghdad.
It's crazy out here, guys.
You'll see the flashes of light behind me right now.
All right, we've got a fun episode planned for you, Common Fans. We are going to talk about the most meaningful games of the season, okay? Which games will define the Huskers football season in 2024? We're excited to jump into this. We've each picked three. We haven't shared them with each other. We haven't done any sort of backgrounding on this with each other. So we're going to discuss, we're going to debate, we're going to dive in on which three games will define the Husker season in 2024. So I think that's super exciting. Before we do that, guys, friend of the program, Joe Ritz, shout out to Joe Ritz, sent us an email recently that I thought was kind of thought provoking. So I wanted to read it for all Common Fans, and we could discuss here for a few minutes. So he says, Common Fan fellas, I have a question about our last 15 years of football and how we, the fans and public, treat or respond to players today compared to our expectation of the 90s. It seems all too repetitive, especially after an ugly or frustrating loss, to respond with, well, they're just kids. While I was only 8 years old by the year 2000, way to rub it in, Joe Ritz, way to rub in your youth. I have a hard time believing that that was our response after a loss in the dominating decade that was the 1990s. Have we fans today become acclimated to being disappointed so often that we rely on that statement as a borderline scapegoat? Is this the turn of society as a whole where we have to be nicer to these athletes? I find it hard to believe Saban would agree that we are too tough on them. After X amount of one score losses, I find it mind-numbing to say, well, they're just kids. Cheersing a Miller Lite, Joe Ritz.
Joey Ritz is a Miller Lite guy, eh?
Oh,
yeah.
Less, great Lite. Taste, less filling.
Miller Lite.
I don't mind it. That's a great email from Joey Ritz.
That's a great email. Appreciate the contribution, Joe Ritz. Basically, what he's saying, basically he's attributing our failures of recent years to the fact that we're not mean enough to the 18 to 22-year-olds who are playing a game on behalf of our favorite university. Is that what he's saying?
Well, here's the thing. Like, I get both. I hate to sit on the fence on this, but I get both sides of that. Like, yeah, they're kids. But that statement, I think, to me was more meaningful several years ago before NIL. Like, mm-hmm. Now these kids are getting an education and being compensated to be football players. So to me, that's lessened that statement doesn't mean as much to me anymore. It's like, yeah, they're kids, but they're getting paid to do this. They're getting paid more than people our age who work their ass off the whole year. And they have to go to school, which isn't easy, but they have to go to school and they play football. Like, you know, I know a lot of Common fans would probably say, I'll trade places with them. Like, honestly. So the argument of saying they're just kids to me is it's kind of hollow now. It's like, yeah, they're kids, right. But that kid is making $1.5 million this year to play football, to throw touchdowns.
It's a job now.
Yeah. But I mean, even you look back and I don't think we were easy on when we were dominant and we did happen to rarely lose a game. I don't think anyone was like, whoa, 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 these guys are just kids. No one was saying that about like Mike Grant when we wanted to bench him for Tommy Frazier. Nobody was saying that when we insert quarterback here, Scott Frost. I mean, they freaking booed him. Like, and we had just come off of back-to-back national championships, and they're booing this kid who is a native Nebraskan. I don't think we've gotten softer on these kids. Like,
no, I mean, I think you just need to. I think you just need to sit in Memorial Stadium during an underwhelming performance, and you'll see that people, I don't think are a whole lot nicer to these kids than we used to be. I think it's a really interesting, I think you guys make a really good point. And I think like to the extent that we talk about it on the Common Fan podcast or on the morning radio show, you know, whoever we're not morning radio guys, but like Gary Sharp or those guys talk about it on their radio shows, or the journalists write about it. I think it's fair game, right? It's fair game to criticize poor play. It's fair game to criticize bad decision-making and all those things. And I think that was true. I mean, I think you could make the argument it was big time college football, and that's always been true. But I think especially now that these guys are making money, that's definitely true. But I will say, like, I don't think like us getting really angry and bitching about the performance on, you know, a Common Fan podcast post game recap is going to change anything. I don't think, you know, anybody in the real media saying something or being hard on these guys is going to change anything. But I do think it's a fair point. And I think it's fair game that, you know, these guys are making money. They're making good money in some cases. And, you know, I don't want to believe this in other ways, but it's almost like the minor leagues right now at this point. Right. Like,
and there's,
but, like, professional-ish.
Yeah. But there's definitely a line you can cross. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can be pissed about something this fall, that something that Dylan Raiola did, and say that he played bad or he threw a bad interception. But then taking it another whole nother level and like, you know, calling them names and doing this other stuff. Like, yeah, we don't need to be doing that stuff, but we can be critical. We can be critical of their play, period.
Yeah.
100%. But,
that's a good point.
To make it like a thing where you're saying, go walk out in front of a bus or something like that. Cause you see some complete jackass, you know, buttheads on Twitter. I mean, saying some of the most outlandish, stupid things, like, you know, and personally, like, you know, when a guy makes a tweet, you're like, why didn't you catch that? You reply to his tweet, say, why didn't you catch that touchdown in the third quarter, you loser? You know, it's like,
come on. Yeah, agreed. Yeah, that doesn't mean it's okay to engage directly with these guys on Twitter and tell them they're terrible or whatever, or things like that. I think we've been pretty consistent whenever this has come up on the podcast that, like, don't be that guy. Don't tweet at recruits. Yeah. Don't tweet at players. And I would also say, like, I love the guy on Twitter that's like, you know, well, I trade places with him, or like, look, like, yeah, but you can't. You're not trading places with him because you're not capable.
You have two bad knees, Steve. You have two bad knees, and you're 150 pounds overweight. You know, you can't trade places with him, sir.
And even though, like, I know you led the team in sprints, you know, it was always really important to be one of the first guys done with sprints, you know, wind sprints 25 years ago. Like, that doesn't mean that you can trade places with them. Like, they're elite athletes that do things very few of us can do. And so I think that's important to keep in mind as well.
Absolutely. But you know what? Joey Ritz is a day one, and that was a great email, Joey.
He's an OG. He's a common fan mission. OG. He's a day one. Early adapter, contributions are welcome from all common fans all the time. commonfangbr@gmail.com. Send us an email, or you can shoot us a message on Twitter or Facebook or YouTube or anywhere where you could, Instagram, anywhere you can find us. But love hearing from the fellow common fans out there. But great job, Joe Ritz. Great job. Just, you know, well, bring, you know, Joe Ritz. I think it's very rare. It's very rare that Joe Ritz steps on the mound and doesn't throw strikes. You know, I mean, he just steps on the mound. He's always, the fastball is always there for him. He's always consistent with his location.
Yeah.
And he's got a good mix of off speed pitches as well. So way to go, Joe.
Yeah. And dare I say, he's just pounding the strike zone,
He's just consistent, just consistently throwing strikes. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Just pounding the zone. I love it. All right, fellas. Well, the season is upon us. The spring game is over. We're now in that sort of no man's land for May, June, and July, when we're just frothing at the mouth, waiting for football season to get here. Get me to fall camp. Get me to game number one. But we're getting there. We're making progress, guys. We've gotten through the winter. We've gotten through spring ball. We're getting there. All right. So hang with us, common fans. So we'll do it. We're going to do a fun little exercise tonight, in honor of, looking forward to the season. And we're going to talk about, the three games that will define Nebraska's season in 2024. So we each made a list. So it'll probably actually, we'll probably end up talking about more than three games. And this is not really in order of like 1-2-3 or 3-2-1, most important, least important, whatever it might be. We're just going to go through, I probably am just going to go through in order of the schedule. You guys can do it however you want. If you want to list them like least important, most important, just make sure to say what you're doing. And I'm going to try to keep track as we go, so we can review at the end. We're going to go the same order every time. We're going to go Matty O, Geoff, and Lincoln, and then Teej. So Matty O, why don't you start us off with your first game that will define the season, the 2024 season for the Huskers.
Sure, sure. Well, first I do want to say, TJ, that the coach in me doesn't necessarily want to participate in this exercise because they're all equally important. Every single one of these games is equally important, TJ. They're all regulated. They're all actual real football games. They're all equally important.
Thank you, Coach Owens. And yeah. if you'd like to sit this one out, Jeff and I can handle it from here.
No. I'll go. So first one I got, I'm going to go in order of, you know, soonest to late, like later on, like schedule wise. So I think first game's important. Don't get me wrong, but week two, Coach Prime coming to town, Shadur and Shiloh coming to town. I don't know that it's terribly important in terms of, like, obviously every single one of our conference games is more important, but I think for our team's psyche, okay, I've been over the several episodes here over the past month and a half, we've talked a little bit about the psychological aspect of Nebraska football. And while I don't think that the coaches and players really, the Colorado thing is that psychological, it definitely is for the fans. And sometimes I think some of that kind of seeps into the team. So I think Colorado week two, and certainly nationally, I mean, if Coach Prime comes into town and we beat the Buffs, it's going to be on SportsCenter. I mean, it's because everybody's going to be wanting to see how Deion does this fall and Shadur. No doubt he'll probably be a Heisman candidate, right? So so from that aspect of it, of national attention and just the psychological part, I'm going Colorado Buffaloes as my first pick. Not necessarily in order of importance, but that's my first big important game.
Interesting.
Beauty.
Geoff, I'm curious to hear what you have. I'll just respond to that really quickly, Matt. Without giving mine away, I really wrestled with that one. That one, you know, looking at the schedule, that's the first one that really comes to mind. And there's part of me that says, you know, it's hugely important. We need to win that game. There's part of me that says, well, like you said, it's not as important as any of the conference games. If we want to talk about being in the mix in the conference. I think the question I came down to was, you know, I think for fans, fans desperately want to win that game, obviously. Like it's hugely important for fans. Is it equally important to the team, the guys who don't have the history? I mean, so we played them last year, but like they don't have 20 years of history or 5 years of history of playing Colorado every year or it being a real recent rivalry. I know we played them a couple times in the Frost year, but I think that's an interesting question to consider, where I think fans will be like a little bit despondent and maybe furious if we lose to Colorado again, but I could see the team sort of bouncing back pretty quickly. We have you and I the next week, you know, getting another win quickly and then rolling into conference play. So I think that's, I don't think it's a bad pick at all. It's just, I really, really wrestled with that one. So, Geoff, what'd you have?
I actually went down the same road and I was torn with Owens between the first and the second game. Obviously it's UTEP for the first game, so I would imagine it shouldn't be a big worry for us, but as we've seen in the past, like, those first games do matter. I mean, with the rain delay and the first game of Frost era, I feel like some people believe that set the tone, and the cancellation of the game set the tone for the rest of his tenure. But I do have to go with Colorado as a big time impact game, and mine's probably a little bit more shallow. You guys can go in depth about, you know, the talent that they have and the second year under Deion Sanders. I just don't like them at all, and that's my reason. I don't like Deion Sanders. I don't like Colorado. They piss me off. They've got people running for the hills right now, transfers jumping in the portal faster than you can imagine. So I would really just love to have them in town and just kick them while they're down. And I think that's going to boost our confidence that if we can just kick the crap out of these guys in our house to start off the season in a first big game of 2024, I think that's going to give us that motivation and that push that we need, so to speak, to kind of hopefully roll through a few games after that. So I'm going with Colorado as well, Owens.
I like it.
Yeah. I love that pick, Jeff. I love it, Matt. Like, I everything you guys said makes sense. I didn't end up picking them for mine. I agree with a lot of what you guys are saying. And I probably want to win that one as much as I want to win any game this season as a fan. But my first one was actually Illinois. It's our fourth game of the year, first conference game.
Bert.
It's at home. Yeah, and let me tell you why on that front. we beat Illinois pretty handily last year. And I think that people are looking through the schedule this year. I would assume Husker fans, common fans, are not taking anything for granted after the last several years. But I think people are assuming we're over the hump against some of these teams, and we're going to beat them with no problem, like the Illinois and the Purdue's of the world. And I'm just super mindful of losing to Illinois. Well, we lost to them for sure in 2020, for sure in 21. I think we lost to him in 22 as well, right? Did we lose to him for 3 years in a row? Yeah.
I think so.
We lost to him for 3 years in a row. And also, we played really well against them in 2023, but they looked like absolute garbage that night. And they ended up playing a lot better toward the end of the season. We know Bert Bielema is a solid coach. I picked that one because I think a win is kind of like, okay, that this is a second rate program. This is the kind of team Nebraska should beat. They are and always will be a second rate program. And so we're going to beat them now and forever moving forward. And I think that's how we'll feel if we win. But if we lose, it's going to be like one of those, like, oh geez, like, are we in for another one of these seasons where we have to hold our breath against Illinois? We have to hold our breath against Purdue. We have to hold our breath for every game this season. So I'd love to see the Huskers come out, ideally 3-0, but I'd love to see the Huskers come out, take control of that game early. You know, it's going to be physical. You know, we probably won't run away with it, but I'd love us to like establish ourselves physically early and kind of pull away in the second half. If we blow them out of the water, just because we added all these athletes in the offseason and we're throwing the ball around the yard or whatever it might be, all the better. But that one's got me. I think that one is kind of a sleeper for a game that could define the season. All right. Next one for you, Matty-O.
Next one, I'm going a little contrarian here. Probably not one of the first ones that would jump out to many folks. But I'm going with Rutgers, AKA Butgers. I think our buddy, Triple B Printing, Josh, actually had a t-shirt that was set two, 3 years ago, maybe more like Butgers, I think, was his t-shirt.
But what are you, 12?
Well, I mean, it's funny if, you know,
it's funny. It's funny.
I'm laughing about it right now.
No, but my reasoning, really is just, okay, we've got to start off those first four at home. And we talked about the Colorado game. It's week two. TJ mentioned Illinois is week four. Then we go on the road for the first time to according to Geoff, terrifying West Lafayette, Indiana.
Scary out there.
Play Purdue. And then we come, and so we'll see where we're at there after five games. But then we have Rutgers. Okay. We've had five games. Hopefully we haven't been real injured. We've got Rutgers. It's homecoming. Not that any of that usually really matters, but it's right before we have a bye week. Okay. So I'm just thinking, my big thing this year is the psychological aspect of these kids. All right. And again, they're kids, Joey Ritz. No, but I think if we can get a win there, hopefully we're already at four, maybe even five wins there by that point of the season. And then we go on the road to putrid Indiana, and then we start the gauntlet of a schedule where it's Ohio State, UCLA, USC, Wisconsin, Iowa. Like, holy shit, right? So that's why, again, like TJ, I thought that was a great pick because we're already like drinking the Kool-Aid so much that it's already like, okay, Illinois will beat those guys. Purdue will beat those guys. Rutgers will beat. Those teams are all not bad, right? Like, I don't know. Purdue might be bad, but Illinois is decent.
They might still be bad.
They might still be bad, but it's on the road. It's our first road game, right? But that Purdue, Illinois, Rutgers, Indiana, like we're just already taking for granted, like, okay, well, those are wins. Until we kind of take that step where we're playing consistent football, we shouldn't really do that. So that's why I think Rutgers is a big one. It's one where they're tough. We should win that game, and we need to win that game because after that, we go to putrid Indiana, but then it's the gauntlet.
Yeah.
So big game.
I think that's a great call, Matty-O. We talked about this on the full 2024 season preview with Charlie. Rutgers has been like, there will probably be more talented than them, but Schiano, like since Schiano took over, that's a physical team. That's a well-coached team. And like, that's not, they're not going to be an easy out for a lot of teams, probably Nebraska included. So I think that's a great call. Geoff, what'd you have?
Well, you're not going to believe this, but Owen stole my thunder there. I'm not making that up. You stole that from me.
Whatever. So get out of here.
I'm serious. I did, because the reason that I was going to pick Rutgers game is simply because of the numbers. And we talked about it on a previous podcast, that what could happen if we can break the bull curse. Like, and if somehow we manage to go into that game undefeated, if we could get that sixth, that could technically be our make or break for a bowl game. And the sky's the limit after that, once you get that monkey off your back. And so I was going to go with Rutgers. Owens, you stole it from me. You suck. Damn it. I was going to think outside the box, but that really is the game. If we somehow can pull out a win against Colorado, you know, very, very dangerous Purdue and West Lafayette, if we can pull out a win there. If we pull out a win and we go somehow get to 5-0 going into to that game, I mean, we break the bowl curse. That could very well be the changing in the trajectory of where we go for the rest of the season.
Wow. So Geoff and Maddie O in line with their first two picks. They both had Colorado, both had Rutgers. Knowing Geoff, group project guy, probably just like didn't even do any research.
Copy my answers, Jeff.
He's just as he's going right after Matt and just choosing this one, and he's not even aware
Rutgers,
of
Rutgers. Yeah, aware of
what's on the schedule?
Yeah,
you're not going to believe this. I had the same thing.
What do you know?
He doesn't even know what's on the schedule. Shot. He's just going with what Matt said.
Yeah, Butgers.
All right. Well, great call, guys. For my Jeff's sound is a little delayed. Geoff coming to us live from Baghdad.
Hurricane our, Andrew. Hurricane my Andrew second, right now.
Hurricane Andrew. He's out in the elements. Oh my God. I'm sorry. My second one, guys, was UCLA. And here's why.
Yeah.
It's because it's after the Ohio State game. Okay. And, you know, don't get me wrong. I would love more than anything for us to go into Columbus and beat Ohio State. I think they're going to have the best team they've had in years this year. I think they might run the table, Ohio State. I think that's going to be very challenging. And so I want to see how we bounce back. I'm balancing my wishful thinking, which is I hope we're already at least at six wins by the UCLA game. I'm balancing that with the reality of recent years and saying it's possible maybe we're at five wins then. And UCLA could be the game when we get that sixth win. I hope that's not true, guys. But, you know, I think we're all having some good doses of realism here on this particular conversation, which we don't always have. But I just think for a lot of reasons, we're going to want to see the team bounce back after what could be a rough showing against Ohio State. We're going to want to see how they bounce back. And then, look, we could need it for our sixth win, maybe we're already at six wins. Maybe we're at seven wins or something like that. I still want to see how the team bounces back, because then it's like, okay, how far can we go? How much can we get out of this season kind of thing? Because the rest of the way is pretty rough with our old friends of Wisconsin and Iowa after that. So I think for a lot of reasons, UCLA. And then the last reason for UCLA, they've got a new head coach. You know, they were kind of, you know, lying in the weeds a lot of the whole time Chip was there. They weren't dominating in the fashion that he had at Oregon, for instance. I wouldn't have expected them to be great this year, but they'll probably have some athletes. It's a transition year with the new head coach. So I look for them to struggle a little bit, which is one more reason we need to pounce, and that's a home game too. So I like our chances to bounce back there, but I'll be holding my breath a little bit to see if we actually do it. Mattio, game number three that will define the season for the 2024 Nebraska Cornhuskers football team.
I'm going with our old nemesis. Can't get the monkey off the back, Wisconsin. It's the last home game of the year. as we go on Black Friday this year, we go to Iowa. I think, you know, and we talked about it in a prior episode with Brandon Vogel about just how we're very similar teams. Like, talent-wise, we're very similar to Wisconsin. We have been. Since they've owned us, since we joined the Big Ten, we've been just as good or more talented than Wisconsin. We just cannot get the monkey off the back. And whatever reason, we just find a way to lose. So that's a big one for me. Last home game of the year. Hopefully it's not coming down to, you know, Wisconsin and Iowa at the end of the year for us to get to a bowl game. Hopefully that's like to get like win 7, please. 8, or 9.
Please, God.
But that's, I feel like that's going to be whatever our record is, whatever their record is, like that. I have that one circled a little bit for me. Like, we just have to at least maybe every other year or every 2 years beat them. Like, obviously, like I want to beat them every year. Don't get me wrong, but we can't let this continue. Cause what is it? Is it 7, 8 years in a row? 9? How many times?
Last time we beat them was the 2012 regular season.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
That is god awful.
Which is insane. That's
insane.
It just seems impossible.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know if it's like one of the add that to the list of the things that we need to do, like the midfield, like Ted Lasso ceremonial burning of like old items or something. Like, yeah, like right. It's just unheard of that you can lose to it. And like I said, as talented or more talented than Wisconsin since we came into the Big Ten. And for whatever reason, like, we just cannot beat them.
And some of the losses have just been such gut punches. I mean, some of them have been blowouts. Yeah. Those were gut punches in their own way, including the Melvin Gordon game, which people forget we were up 17-3 in that game.
Yeah,
we were. Madison in the snow. And it looked like we might just run away with it. And then Melvin Gordon ran for a country mile.
Yeah.
But, like, think about 2015, Riley's first year was the Andy Janovich run with 3 minutes to go. And then I'm trying to remember this. I think then they went down. Then they went down and missed a field goal. I'm pretty sure. And then got the ball back one more time and made a field goal. Yeah, they had a missed field goal in there somewhere. I might be misremembering that.
I think you're right.
2016 was when we started 7-0, and then we go into Madison, we lose in overtime. I was there. I was so convinced. I was so sure we were going to win that game. I was 1,000% sure we were going to win that game. And then I'm trying to remember, Frost teams had some really good battles against them.
We played them tough a couple of times. Yeah.
We played them tough. 2021, we played them tough. 2022 was, let's see. I'm pretty sure we played them tough in 2022. And then
after they had fired Christ.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Jim Leonard was the interim.
Oh, and we were up that one. We were up. We were up. We lost that one like 15-14 or something.
That was with Mickey, right?
Yeah, and I think we were up like 14-3 or 14-something. You know, 14. We were up big going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And then 23, of course, we go into overtime with them. So it's just that's a good microcosm of all the pain we felt as Husker fans.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whew. Okay, Jeff. Geoff in Baghdad.
Beirut.
The rain's coming down really hard right now, fellas. I'll tell you that much right now. For my third pick, I will not. This is proof that I'm not just group project guy in school. I'm going to go with, as you all know, I've been banging the drum for this all season, but I'm going to say Ohio State, simply because if we're going to make the playoff this year, that's the game that we need to win. And I don't care how it looks, if it's sloppy and lucky, or if we beat the hell out of them, we need to win that game at the Horseshoe. And I want to do it because I can't stand Ryan Day. That dude drives me freaking nuts, man. To take a page out of Owens's book here with Rutgers, AKA Butgers, I want to beat the shit out of the Ohio State butt guys this year in their own house. That's my game. I'm sticking to it. I'm not coming off of it. We're winning that game, and that's going to change the entire trajectory of not our season, but the entire freaking program.
Wow.
Geoff has made
I'm ready to run through a brick wall, Jeff.
Yeah, Coach Langenberg. Geoff has been consistent on this. And so, like, no one's going to deserve more credit than you if and when we beat Ohio State, Joe.
Yeah.
I love it. Love your enthusiasm. And love that you're not backing down on this take. No. All right, guys. I went with I had to do it. I went with Iowa. Just because, look, let's face it. We've talked about this before. They are our rival. We don't like them. They don't like us. This is a good thing. We should embrace this. Like, we've been in the Big Ten for over a decade now. We have some history. We've built up some history. And it gets under Husker fans' craw, as it should, that they've won whatever it is, 7 out of the last 8 or whatever, when we are and always will be the superior program. And we know that. so I firmly believe we're going to get to a point where we run off several wins in a row against Iowa. But until we get to that point, I think it has, ideally, we're all ready to bowl eligibility and hopefully beyond even 6 wins by the time the Iowa game rolls around. So maybe that would soften the blow of a loss, perhaps. The last several years, that Iowa game has sort of set the mood for the Huskers going into the off season. Again, if we're going bowling this year, maybe that changes even with a loss. But I just think it's so important for the fan base now. It matters, you know, the Twitter fights get old and they're annoying and whatever else. But like, we want to be on the winning side of those fights. We want to say we've won 2 out of the last 3. We want to say it's trending in the right direction for us in that rivalry. And so, like, just embrace it, Common fans. Iowa's our rival. They've gotten the better. Like, we have to own it. We have to face reality. They've gotten the better of us more often than not for almost a decade now, which is infuriating. I firmly believe that's going to change. Yeah. I firmly believe we're going to run off multiple wins in a row against them. Like I said, that could start as soon as 2024. And I very, very much hope it does. But I just think if you're making this list, I mean, Matt, you made the point at the beginning, and either, we may not have even been recording yet. I can't remember. You made the point that, like, you could literally pick 3 games out of the first 6 because, you know, some people look at those as the easy part of the schedule. But if the Huskers want to accomplish what they want to accomplish, they have to do well during that stretch. So it's almost like, yeah, those are maybe the more winnable games, but it's added pressure if you want to get to a bowl game that you have to win a lot of those games because we're probably going to take some L's on the back half of the schedule.
Yeah. You'll beat who you're supposed to thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So you could argue you could make an argument for just about any game on the schedule. But for me, that Iowa one holds a lot of weight for the fan base. Now they are the new Colorado. I don't know that I would, you know, they're not the new Oklahoma because that's just different. And that's historic, but, they're our rival and we got to beat them. So I'm sticking to it.
I agree. Right, 100%. They're absolutely 100% our rival, our main rival. I don't know. I don't honestly don't know that we could say we have another one. I mean, we wanted it to be Wisconsin, but like I said a few minutes ago, like they've owned us even more than Iowa has somehow.
Yeah.
So I don't think we can necessarily call it a rival. I think we have one rival and it's Iowa.
No, I thought going into the Big Ten, Wisconsin would be our rival and we would have some classic matchups with them and we would both be, you know, I thought we would be about what they've been in the time we've been in the conference, top 15, top 25 program year in and year out. You know, sometimes we're winning the conference. Those are the things they've done since we've been in the conference, although they may not have won it, but they've played for it several times. Not quite so much, but we're on the way back, Common fans. We're on the way back.
Yeah.
Okay. Any final thoughts, Matt and Jeff? This was Matty O goes Colorado, Butgers, and Wisconsin.
Right? Yep.
Butgers. Geoff goes Colorado, Butgers, and the Ohio State Butt guys. And Teach goes Illinois, UCLA. Iowa. You can't go wrong, Common fans. And it's just fun to think like we're going to be in the thick of it before we know it. We're getting there now. We've made some headway on 2024 and it's going to be fall camp before we know it.
Yeah. I mean, hey, I said this a while back. It's a natural progression. It goes March Madness, the Masters. We're getting well into baseball season. Spring football is going to be wrapped up and then summer will just fly by.
Yep.
It always does. Yep. The kids will keep you busy, play some golf, do whatever you do, go fishing. I don't go fishing very often, but some people do. whatever you do in the summer, it flies by. You're going to the pool. Next thing you know, it's fall camp. Here we are. Strapping on the pads.
Absolutely.
Taking the helmet, the little kid's plastic helmet that you got off the mantle, putting it on. Go ahead and put it on. It's way too small for your head. Just go ahead and throw it on. Slap yourself on the head a couple of times.
Wear it in the basement when no one's at home.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
I mean, I've never done it.
What's that?
Do a few push-ups. Hit the sled. Hit the wall like it's a sled a little bit.
What's that VHS tape, I think, Owens, that you used to blare at your old place back in the day on game day? Was it VHS or a DVD? But it was a compilation of songs and, like, football highlights.
Oh, no, that was a CD. If somebody could find the CD for me, I would pay top dollar for it. I think the university actually made it and put it out. It would play like the Lyle Bremser Johnny Rogers call, and then it would play a song. And I think that was like Johnny Be Good played right after that. Pretty outstanding. It had Run DMC, My Adidas was on there. There's some pretty good tunes on there.
That sounds outstanding. Awesome. And like when you're, you know, 20 something years old, it's a football Saturday. That's just your background soundtrack while you're, you know, pumping the keg and manning the grill.
Yeah. You know? That thing goes on at about 8 a.m. and it plays until kickoff.
Oh, yeah. That's outstanding. God, just can't wait for all of it to be back, boys.
Beauty.
Just absolutely can't wait.
I got to get a new Husker flag. My flag paid the price, went down last year.
Oh, like this one?
Ooh, yeah. Like this I saw one. Your flag back there and I remembered like I got to get. I never put a flag up this last season, so whatever struggles we had, it's on me, guys.
And you own that, by the way.
It's all my
fault. Own that.
It's all my fault. I will. I will. That's the kind of guy I am. We're all in this together. OOU, one of us. We're all together.
One of us. OOU. All right, boys. Well, any final thoughts for the common fans on this one?
Jeff, this, in Beirut.
The weather out here is... hopefully I make it through the night, folks. And I'll bring you live updates tomorrow morning when the sun rises. I love you all. I love my family. Tell them I love them.
It's like Jim Cantore, like clinging to a light pole, like blowing away in the storm.
Get to safety, Jeff. Find a safe place for the night. All right. Well, thanks for joining us as always, common fans. So excited. We're frothing at the mouth for football season to get here. And we'll be back at you soon. So until next time, common fans, as always, GBR for life. We'll be right back.